Yesterday we did the first part of the two-part series about considerations when buying a Sefer Torah, and we discussed in general the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah and how one fulfills the mitzvah, why so many people don't fulfill the mitzvah. Someone sent me a fascinating sicha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, which I guess is appropriate to quote today on his yard site, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe said that it was never in all of history that people, that he had hundreds of thousands of people writing Sefer Torah. So here you have a mitzvah in the Torah that never once in all of history did the Jewish people really fulfill. And he says the inescapable conclusion that one must come to is that it's not really an absolute chiyuv on each and every individual, but rather it's a chiyuv as far as the tzibur is concerned, some sort of a hybrid between the Rosh's shita and Rabbi Nisad Yigon's shita, that the point of writing a Sefer Torah is to learn from it, to use it, to read from it. And once they were misakin Kriyas HaTorah, so the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah is the so now we accomplish having Kriyas HaTorah by making sure our shuls own a Sefer Torah, that our shuls have a Sefer Torah, so the whole tzibur participates together in being able to accomplish that. That's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe's opinion was in a sicha that someone sent me today. But anyway, so today we said we're going to go through a list of hidurim that people might insist on. Oh, I also got another email from someone saying that I oversimplified when I said that the only shita in terms of the style of ksav that you can find in Rishonim is Beis Yosef, because there are variants within Beis Yosef also. There are variations within Beis Yosef also, and some Rishonim have certain elements of ksav velish that you can even find, and it's not absolutely clear that only ksav Beis Yosef has its roots in Rishonim. So those are two interesting emails I got over the last day or so. But anyway, today we're going to go through a checklist of Hidurim. And this entire checklist of Hidurim appears again in Rabbi Mendelwitz's Sefer Inside Stam. Rabbi Goldstein can follow along in the Sefer and just read along, because I'm going to be essentially reading that chapter where he goes through the list of Hidurim. So we're going to go through a top 10 list of Hidurim that one might look for if one is trying to get the most magnificent Sefer Torah. So not only beauty in the writing, but certain things that he might want to insist on. So first, a bit of Eitzah that Rabbi Mendelwitz offers, and that is that a person should not look for all of these Hidurim from a Sofer who is not accustomed to using all of these Hidurim. Meaning, you can go to a Sofer, commission a Sofer, say, I want that Sofer to write my Sefer Torah, and then give him a list of Hidurim that you want, but he's never done these Hidurim before. It will take him out of his routine, and that very often will land you with an inferior product. Much better to keep the Sofer in his routine, and if you have certain Hidurim you're makbid on, find a sofer that does those. Find a sofer that's already accustomed to doing those hidurim. So let's start. Hidur number one is what they call klaf avodas yad. The ibud of the klaf of a sefer Torah, the tanning process of the klaf, has to be done l'shma. But it used to be, the history of it was that it was a very long and difficult process. It actually took weeks to do the ibud of the klaf. And then they came up with a way to do it al yaday machines that made it quicker, it made it cleaner, and it produced a cloth that was much easier to work with. So there was a big transition toward machines. But might be a chisaron according to some poskim in lishma. You may be losing a sense of lishma, just like not dissimilar to machine matzos. That if you hold that a machine does it, that maybe that takes away some of the sense of lishma. So throughout the years, there have been people that have been working on ways to do cloth avodas yad that would yield a product that is as high a quality as the machine product. And nowadays they figured it out. They now can produce a klaf avodas yad which has a greater level of lishma and is just as high a quality product in terms of the ease with which you can write on it. So that is a hidur that someone might want to try to accomplish. The Rosh in Hilchos Sefer Torah in the Tur and some Reish Ayin Aleph quote Rishonim that Ibud Lishma is not necessary for Sefer Torah, and the Bir Alach in Siman Lamed Beis says you can certainly say a bracha on a Sefer Torah that didn't have Ibud Lishma. So there's plenty of room to be made. Well, this is why this is a hidur. First of all, it's not even so clear that you need Ibud Lishma at all. And second of all, who says when it's done al yidei a machine that it's not necessarily Ibud Lishma? but it is a hidur to make sure it's lishma with all the bells and whistles. A second type of hidur is klaf lo megurad. If we have we have to write on klaf, which is the outer layer of hide, and not on the duchsustus, which is the inner layer. So we used to split the skin in two, like the thickness of the skin in two, and write on the inside of the klaf layer. But now we just scrape away the inner layer until we arrive at that very same spot. And we also scrape off the very thin outer layer. However, there is a sheet of the Chayyadim, Klal Yudalit, and Nishmasad, the most Gimel, who holds that scraping the outer layer actually turns the middle into duchsustus. It takes away the status of klaf, and therefore it would become puzzles. Even though it's the very same spot that you would be writing on if you did it the traditional way, by scraping that outer layer off, the Chayyadim holds, it turns the inner layer, the middle layer, which is can go in either direction. So when you scrape off that outer layer, that middle layer now becomes duchsustus, and therefore would be puzzle. Rav Yashiv and some other poskim are machmir not to scrape off the outer layer to be yotze the shita of the chayyadim. So that's another hiddur. A third hiddur one might want to insist on is the shita sarashba. The tshuva sarashba in Siman Tav Reish Yud Aleph says that you cannot scrape attached letters if the letters touched before the second letter was completed. Because once the letters touched, then the item became puzzle. So when you scrape it away, part of the second letter was already written in a puzzle way, and it can't be undone by just separating the letters. You would have to erase the entire second letter and then rewrite it. If the letters only touched after the second letter was complete, then you can erase the connection between them. Most Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Beis Sif Yud Ches say that even if the second letter touched before it was completed, you could just scrape away the connection. You would never know. You would never know if a sofer was makbid about this. It's just something you have to trust, whether he's makbid about this or not, because it takes more work, obviously, to scrape away half of a letter that he's already written, rather than to just complete the letter and scrape away the connection between the two letters. That is a third hiddur that one might look for. A fourth hiddur is ziyunin. The Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, Perek Beis Halacha Ches, and the Rambam in a tshuva in Pe'er Ador, Simen Samaches, and many other Rishonim say that when the Gemara says that Shiva Osios Tzricha Shlosha Ziyunin Ve'elu Hein Shat Nizgatz, when the Gemara identifies the seven letters that require the Ziyunin on top of the letters, it means that there should be, according to the Rambam, miniature Zions on the top of each of these letters, that you make three miniature Zions sticking up from each of the letters of Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzadi, of the Shat Nizgatz letters. Three Zayins. If the Tagin don't have a Zayin shape, they're just straight up, they're just a Tag that's a straight line, it's still kosher. And sometimes it's very challenging to make three Zayins that don't touch each other in the tiny space allotted at the top of a letter, because the roof of a Zayin is a little bit thick. So to make three Zayins on top of a single letter, especially when you're dealing with a small Sefer Torah, so, and especially considering the hundreds of thousands of Tagin in a Sefer Torah, so that could be a very great challenge. But that is a nice Chumrah, a nice Hidur. A fifth nice Chumrah and Hidur is Shemos Kesidron. Even though Sefer Torah can be written out of order, the Ginos of Radim and Archaim Klal Beis, quoted by the Pischi Tshuvin, Yardeas, and Reishain Vav Sivkatan Chav, says that the letters of the Shemos Hashem have to be written in order. So that's a worthwhile hidur to have, that at least the letters of the Shem Hashem should be written in order. A sixth hidur to look for is Shemos Misupakin. The in Shulchan Aruch in Yardei Reishain Vav Sif Beis says that whenever you get to a Shem Hashem, the sofer has to say, or at the very least think, that he's doing it l'shem kedushas Hashem, that he's being mekadesh it l'shem kedushas Hashem. So he says the words l'shem kedushas Hashem. But there are many places in the Torah where it's unclear whether the word Elohim, let's say, is Elohim Chol, or whether it's Elohim Kodesh. Is it an actual Shem Hashem or not? So the sofer, when it comes to those, should say, Im ze shem hareini kosev l'shem kedushas Hashem. He makes it tonight that if this is in fact a shem Hashem, then I'm imbuing it with kedushas Hashem. So it's most muhudar if he says that by any case where there's any machlokes about the meaning of the word. But some sofrim have their list of what they hold there's a machlokes about. But there may be other examples in the Torah that they don't have such a thorough list of what the examples are where there's a machlokes about the whether something is a shem chol or shem kodesh. So to be makbid about all the shemos mesupak, and again, you would never know by looking at the Sefer Torah whether the sofer had a kavana l'shem kedushas Hashem or not. You would never be able to tell. A seventh possible chumrah or hidur is visible sirtut. The Shulchan Aruch in Yardeis in Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Hey says that you have to have sirtut. Those are the lines that keep the letter straight by the line. Etched into the cloth. And the Be'er Gra says that it's halacha l'Moshe Sinai to have sirtut. So in the Marikash and Tshuvas Ale Yaakov says that you only need to see the sirtut when you're writing it. And it could fade away afterwards. But Rabbi Kiveger disagrees. Rabbi Kiveger in Yardeis in Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Hey says that the sirtut has to remain forever. And that would mean that if the sirtut fades, the word should be scraped out and rewritten after the sirtut is reestablished. Wow! So that's also quite a hid or quite a chumrah to redo the entire sirtut and redo the words that utilizes that sirtut if the sirtut ever fades. It's also somewhat risky because if you can keep scraping new lines into it, you might scrape right through the cloth, which brings us to and make a cut in the cloth, which brings us to hidur number 8, and that is matlesim. When the cloth gets a slit or a cut, then you have to patch it up. So the Bach in Simon Reish Pei says that you're not allowed to write on the patch. The Shach in Sivkat and Zayin says Ulanias Daiti Iker Kidvarov. However, the Shach then adds Elame Achar Shenagu Akadmonim Likros B'Sefer Torah Kazel Lifnei Gedolei Olam V'Lo Michu Al Yadam. That since Gedolei Olam used to read from such a Sefer Torah and they used to read from such a Sefer Torah in front of Gedolei Olam V'Lo Michu Al Yadam, and they never objected to it, Al Kain, Ein Lashum Gadol Limchos Laharos Haral Lesser Lacherim. No Gadol has the right anymore to make a Machah and to ask for other people from using such a Sefer Torah. Aval Hamachmir Liatzma B'Sefer Torah Shalom Hareza Meshubach V'Tova Lov Bracha. So here's a hidur that the Shach specifically identifies that if you're going to have your own Sefer Torah, look for this hidur that there be no writing on the matlesim, that there be no writing on the patches itself. Would not possible the Sefer Torah? Gedolei Olam relied on such Sefer Torah, but an appropriate hidur. Hidur number 9 is the Shir Parsha. The Rambam in Perek Zayin Halacha Yud requires a space of 9 letters between Parshios, and he says that it should be enough space for 9 large letters, like Aleph Shin Resh. So it should be 3 times the word Asher. But the Beis Yosef in Simen Ayin Resh Hei, Dibra Maskel V'Rambam, says that it's kosher even if you just leave space for 9 small letters, like 9 Yuds next to each other. So some of the Tikkunim that Sofrim copy from have places, because if you notice, Sifrei Torah generally follow the same basic pattern. Certainly in the last 30, 40 years, the Sofrim write, they don't just stam write, they plan it all out, and they're writing based on the tikkun that they're copying from. So some have places where only smaller spaces are left, particularly those Sfarim that have 245 rather than 248 columns. So to be makbid that they have the larger amount of space to write Asher 3 times. In fact, the Bach and Aruchayim Simon Lamed Beis recommends leaving an additional 2 yudin of space aside from the space for the 3 times the word Asher. So to have a really healthy space between the parshios. And a final hakpada and hidur that one should be makbid about. This isn't really a hidur, it's really a halacha, but one maybe should bring it up when ordering a Sefer Torah. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Lamed Beis Sif Mem Tes says that the sinews that sew the ureos of the Sefer Torah together have to come from a kosher animal. And the Magen Avraham says it's best if it comes from the heels of an ox. So that's a halacha. However, here's the hiddur part. There is a machlokas achronim whether you also need tevil lishma. Do the threads that you're using to sew the Sefer Torah together, which are made out of the sinews of a kosher animal, do they need to be spun lishma? So whereas the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Siman Lamed Beis Sif Ayin Hey and the Tehillah L'David and Os Yilches say that it has to be done lishma, most achronim disagree because there's not even a requirement of tviya at all. If you had very thin tendons, you could just sew with those tendons. You don't even have to do any thread making. So mehechi tesi that you'd have to do a tviya lishma. However, the Gidulei Hegdash Siman Reish Ayin Aleph Sifkat Nyud says that for those tendons and sinews that are thick and unusable in the raw form, you should certainly have tviya lishma. So a tenth and final hiddur to maybe ask about is whether the different sections of parchment of the Sefer Torah are sewn together with the types of gidim, certainly gidim from a kosher animal, and that has been a problem historically where people were using gidim from non-kosher animal. That's really a problem. That's against the halacha. But to be to insist that it have a sense that it be done in tevi'ah l'shma is a hidur that one might want to consider when it comes to his Sefer Torah. So that is Rabbi Mendelitz's list of 10 hidurim that maybe one might want to take into account if they're spending the money on doing this great mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah. Okay.